What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
206 DGS on KMOX. Happy Thursday. Today's my day. It's National Do Nothing Day.
Ooh, nice.
You're supposed to do nothing.
Well, what are we doing here?
Nothing. As little as possible. What is your idea of a do nothing day? What do you do?
Watch sports and play video games, which is basically almost every Saturday and Sunday. When I'm not coaching.
Rach, how about you? What's your favorite do nothing day?
Ooh, good question. Maybe going for like a walk in the morning, and then do I have to do chores? I guess not.
No, okay. It's do nothing. You do what you...
All right, so I'm not doing that. So, after getting a little exercise in, getting a little fresh air in the lungs, then, yeah, I'm laying on the couch.
On the couch.
I'm watching some YouTube. I'm watching some movies.
You much of a napper?
Sometimes.
God, I wish I could nap.
I don't like plan naps. Sometimes it just happens.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like to nap for more than 45 minutes, an hour.
You feel insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Andrew, yeah. How about you?
Playing video games. Yeah. Sitting in a chair.
Yeah.
Chilling.
What's your current fave?
What is my current fave? I'm playing Sonic.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sonic the Hedgehog. The kids love Sonic, man.
Well, the adults love Sonic, too.
That's good. No, Blair threw in some shade. Loves Sonic.
Yeah.
Her 5-year-old niece just loves it.
I would write like Sonic the Hedgehog fan fiction. I really would. I love Sonic.
Do it.
I love Sonic. I love all the people in Sonic.
Work down for that Twilight lady.
Just don't That's make true. It creepy.
Is there any other kind?
Sonic and Tails kissed.
Man, did you see...
Wait, they're not like brother and sister, are they?
Who's Tails?
Tails is the girl, right?
Oh, Tails okay. is a boy.
Oh, I mean, that's fine, too.
Yeah.
You know, we don't judge.
And they're not siblings. Tails is a fox, and Sonic's a hedgehog.
All right.
We're just really showing your ignorance
we're just
here, Rachel.
Out Andrew's romantic
Which one
novel.
Is the girl?
that would be Amy Rose Hedgehog.
Amy Rose Hedgehog?
Yes,
that's her name.
Yes, that's
Amy
her name.
Amy Rose Hedgehog.
Amy Rose Hedgehog.
Oh, I can feel the radio's turning off.
The name of our like union rep.
Yes, I thought of that when you guys were telling me about her. I was like, oh, that's the name of Sonic's girlfriend.
You have said that before. Now I'm remembering. Oh my. Oh my gosh. Amy Rose Hedgehog, this is Sonic.
Like, is that his sister? It's a boy.
It's a boy and it's a fox. Okay.
Well.
I know less about Sonic than I thought, and I didn't think I knew much.
I think you might have known less than me.
Is there a character named Knives?
Knuckles.
Knuckles.
Well, there's Knuckles.
Is Knuckles also a hedgehog?
No, Knuckles is an echidna. Which is a
I know what an echidna is, yeah.
Which is a hedgehog-like marsupial.
Yeah, but it's an Australian hedgehog.
Mm-hmm. And then there's Shadow the Hedgehog, who's
is that
the
like
cool one.
Sonic's rival? Like,
yeah, Rimes. Kind of. Yeah, kind yeah. of.
Is he the cool one, like the Fonz?
Yes, he's very, very cool. Played by Keanu Reeves in the new film that was just released here a month or two ago.
Is there a character called Eggman?
Yes, he's the villain, also sometimes called Dr. Robotnik.
Okay.
Played by Jim Carrey in the films.
Okay.
Man, you need to hold on to your wife like grim death.
Yeah.
She knows. She knew when she married
so
me.
When's the book?
I'm just saying you're not getting another one.
Sonic comes first.
When's
she
the
knows
book
this.
Come out?
Well, it's in the process of being written right now in my head. Rachel gave me some great ideas about Sonic and Tails.
It's very progressive.
Yes. And maybe Amy embarks on a new job as a union representative. All kinds of... Getting all kinds of great ideas here.
Yeah, I've read worse. Razor's Edge?
Yeah. I don't know how we top that, but we're going to try. So let's talk about a couple of the things that are effectively being banned. So one is an actual ban, the red dye number 3. We talked about this yesterday. The dangerous ingredient, according to some, though, has just been banned by the FDA. According to the FDA, red dye number 3 is a synthetic food dye that gives certain foods and drinks a bright cherry red color and is found in certain candy, cakes and cupcakes, cookies, frozen desserts, frostings and icings, and ingested drugs like red cough syrup. When we're talking about ingested drugs,
do you have any idea how much red dye number 3 I've had? I mean, it's been around my whole life.
Well, I have a list here of some of the most common foods that contain the red dye number 3. Now, look, just because it's banned doesn't mean it's going away right away. I think they have until 2020. Okay, until what's up, Wheels?
I just love this. Like, yeah, this is really bad for you, and we're going to ban it in 6 years.
Yeah, they have 2 years to come up with something new.
It's dangerous, it should go away.
So the food has until January 15th of 2027, and the ingested drugs has until January 18th, 2028 to get rid of them. But here's some of the most common foods that contain red dye number 3. Better Crocker Fruit by the Foot. I'm almost certain
you're
that's supposed
weird
to
words.
Say Betty Crocker.
It's gotta be Betty Crocker.
Says Better Crocker.
Better
what did you say? Fruiter Pooter?
Fruiter.
I did not say Pooter.
Better Crocker Fruiter Pooter.
I think Pooter is a Sonic character.
He's the one that kisses tails.
He's an elephant.
Betty Crocker Loaded Mashed Potatoes. Double Bubble Chewing Gum.
Wait,
has red
mashed potatoes?
Yeah, but I'm thinking maybe like those red mashed potatoes, you know,
like
the has the red skins.
Yeah.
Wait, but that's just the, shouldn't that just be the skin from
you
the
can do it with potatoes?
Like, what the hell are we doing?
You would think, but they're adding the dye for some
they're
reason.
Dyeing these potatoes?
Intamin's Little Bites. I know.
What's red in those?
I think the sprinkles, if I had to guess.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So this is Target's in-house brand, Favorite Day Ice Cream and Cookie Kits. Great Value Bacon Bits. That's Walmart's in-house brand,
oh,
Great Value.
Bacon Bits. I love the cheapest bacon bits in the world.
Right. This is going to break your heart, Dave. Hostess Ding Dongs.
Ah! Wait, what's red in there?
What is red in those?
I don't know the answer to that. I'm sorry.
I'm learning or is that it just in like the cake batter to make it look the color that they want it
yeah,
to be?
Yeah, I'm learning that no food is the color that I think it is originally.
Yeah, would we be... I mean, this dye is obviously just to make us more appetized by the food. It's going to be interesting to see how these foods look once we get rid of this.
Right.
Yeah. Jack Link's Meat Sticks. Jordan Almonds. Keebler Sugar Wafers. Llama Loops Cereal from Kellogg's. Kroger Ice Cream.
Llama Loops?
Llama Loops.
Never
that's
heard
what they're
of
saying.
Never heard of that.
Market Pantry Juices. That's another in-house brand from Target. Nerds.
Yeah.
Dave's
I
mom's
mean,
favorite.
Yeah. Another Pooter Crocker.
Nerds have been needing to go down, I think, for a long time, right?
Yeah, they should probably just ban Nerds.
Like, I don't know what's in Nerds, but there's no way that... There's no way it's good.
Oh, you know what I used to do when I was a kid? If I had access to both, I would take Bubblicious bubblegum, which I'm pretty sure has the red dye. I just read that, right? And I would stick Nerds in to the bubblegum and then chew it and be nice and crunchy.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. So good.
So the story with my mom, I always have to tell it. Nerds are the size of, how would you describe it?
Like a
bacon bit.
Like a bacon bit. Like the smallest thing you can imagine.
And we gave her a handful. And so we're all eating them by the handfuls, and like 40 minutes goes by, and Phoebe's a little kid, and she's like, Grandma, you want some more Nerds? And she reaches in her mouth and pulls out one Nerd. She goes, I'm still eating this one.
It's all translucent at that point. Let's see what else. Pez, Publix Fruit Cocktail and Fruit Juice, Ring Pops, Skittles, Sweet Tarts, Trolley Gummies.
Kind
Vigo.
Of everything.
Yeah, I know.
All
it's
candy
a lot of
is
stuff.
In trouble from food diet because they just all be like white.
And this is by no means an exhaustive list, as nearly 10,000 foods sold here in the U.S. are thought to contain the red dye.
It kind of reminds me of TikTok Wheels, like what you were saying. If this is this causes cancer in rats, so they're assuming it's going to cause cancer in us. I've been eating this stuff since I was born. If it's really that bad, just that's it. Done. You can't do business anymore. You have to come up with something new. Give until 2028.
Yeah.
There's another part of this that I would like to get clarity on that I haven't seen reported that may have been and I've just missed it. But the report says that there could be that it can cause cancer in lab animals in, quote, high doses. Well, what does high doses
so like
mean?
When it's like 70
to
cups
the
of coffee.
Food that you eat, right? Like, do you have to eat 7,000 pieces of the candy? Like, what and how much of it is in each one of them? And when you add it all up for your typical, like, you take all these things that people typically eat, how much is the average person actually taking in? And is that in the dangerous level? I would love to know more. So, this is not a doubt. It's just something I would like to know the answer to.
I think that's a very, very fair question. I don't have the answer to that.
Because if it's an immediate threat, then it should stop now.
Yeah.
Like, why would business take precedence over that if it's that big of a threat? And if it's not that big of a threat, then do they need to be banned?
So speaking of bans, here's an effective ban that's going to go into place. The FDA has moved to slash the nicotine in cigarettes. Meaning the cigarettes would lose their ability to hook most people into addiction because the nicotine levels would be so low. And people are basically saying, okay, so you're banning cigarettes at this point. You're not giving people the choice of whether or not they want to keep smoking. Now, smoking does kill more than 480,000 Americans each year. But my question is to you guys, do you think we should be reducing the nicotine level and kind of effectively taking away people's choice on whether or not they want to smoke and have this habit?
I'm not following. How is that taking away their choice?
Well, because they're like making cigarettes into a different product.
Less
at that
addictive.
Point. They're taking away so much nicotine that it's not going to hook.
Right.
You
I mean,
anymore.
The reason someone smokes the cigarette is because of the feeling that you get from the nicotine.
So I would say that's giving them a choice. That you don't have a choice if it's an addictive substance. But if you take the addictive substance away or decrease it, then if you just love smoking, you can choose to keep smoking. But
you'll
not
have to smoke, like, say, three times as many.
Well, here's
to
the
get
weird
the same
part.
Effect.
They're going to do this with cigarettes, but the proposal does not include e-cigarettes or other vape products, hookahs, smokeless tobacco products, or nicotine replacement pouches.
Which is what a lot of kids use now.
Right. So they're just doing it to the cigarette smokers.
I don't like this, and I'm not fighting for, you know, protecting the tobacco and cigarette industry. That's not the point. But it's partly what you're saying, Dave, is that you have the choice. You can do these things, but I just think you need to be consistent. So are we also now going to say beer can only have 1% alcohol? You can't have too much because it's too much. We know alcohol is addictive. So we got to make all the drinks have less alcohol. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you do that? And if not, why not? Why is one different than the other?
And it would be kind of like targeting beer, but not targeting spirits.
Right. Well, we got to get it down in the beer, but we're not going to bring it down in whiskey. I think that in these cases where you're talking about scientific proposals, there should be a reason. Like there should be logic and balance, and it should be treated the same way. Right?
Yeah. Agreed. DG Asun KMOX. Now that I have a car with a radio, I can really tell you that 98.7 is pretty cool. Like up and down Highway 40, which is what I travel, it sounds as good as KSHE. It really does. I don't know how far out you need to get until it starts wavering a little bit, but if you're listening to 1120 AM and you have an AM-FM radio, switch it over to 98.7. If you can download the Odyssey app, which you can, because I can, then it sounds perfect. It's absolutely pristine digital quality. Wheels, Biden was warning about the tech industrial complex last night.
Yeah, did you guys see that? I didn't watch the speech. I just saw some of the reaction to that, and I'm curious what you guys think of the terminology there, and an outgoing president saying that he's worried about an oligarchy of the ultra wealthy taking root in the United States, and that there is a tech industrial complex that's infringing on our rights. Now, I'm fascinated because I see some of that, right? I mean, we complain about Elon all the time. And part of the reason I complain about Elon is because I think this is what his intention is. He is buying power, which is not supposed to be how it works in the United States, right? But he's using immense wealth to buy social media platforms. And by the way, not saying he's doing anything illegal. Not saying that at all. Simply saying that's what he's doing.
But let me stop you there. I don't disagree, but is it only different in scale from the Rockefellers and the Roosevelts?
That's kind of what I wanted to ask you guys about, because Eisenhower warned about the military-industrial complex. Was he wrong?
No.
He's dead right. I mean, like, that it still exists. Because what it is, and it sounds like this evil empire type thing, right? But what it really is simply a mechanism that's in place where people are making money through these means, and if they're going to continue to do that, they're going to keep pursuing it. And I don't know that this carries the same thing, because look, in that case, it's one of the heroes of World War II, a general, warning about the industrial complex that's sprouting up around the military, which is where he spent his life, right? So I think that one's a little easier to say, yeah, man, if that guy's warning us, we should probably be paying attention. I'm not saying we should disregard it because, you know, this is just an outgoing president and those are people that opposed him, right? I mean, because those big tech billionaires, they were all on Trump.
And
we could look at it that way and say, well, this is why Joe doesn't like them, which is why I don't want to present this as if it's some kind of super truth moment. But do you guys, just your vibe, forgetting politics, do you guys get the vibe that the billionaires, regardless of whether they're tech billionaires or otherwise, are trying to assert more and more control over the country?
I think 100%. I think that the founding fathers would be aghast. I think this is the opposite of what they wanted, but I think it's what we've always been to some degree. I think it's just really increasing in degree.
That was the way I was going to put it, is I think this has been progressing this way for a long time. And it's funny because people only seem to care when it's the billionaires that are going against their political beliefs, right? So now, you know, people on the left tend to be really against the tech bros, you know, that are supporting Trump. And people on the right are like, well, George Soros, this. And like, well, it's the same thing. It's really, really wealthy people using their billions to essentially buy power and influence. And it doesn't matter whether they are supporting the left or the right. It's what's been going on. And I think it's just continuing a process.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think that you're on the right side, say you're a conservative and it's going your way, let's go in your way right now.
Right.
But, you know, count to 10, it'll go the other way.
Well, look at our country, how it goes. I mean, every 4 to 8 years, it flips around a little bit.
You know, Elon is so similar to Trump in the sense that there have always been politicians that are doing things we don't like, but Trump is just so loud and proud about it, right? And he drew so much attention. And Elon Musk is just being pretty upfront about what he wants because he's such a public figure. But I've no doubt there have been many, many other billionaires doing the exact same thing. They just haven't been living out loud like this. So there's almost like a good part to it because it is making people more aware of the issue.
Drawing attention.
We only knew what the newspapers told us, and they controlled the newspapers, whereas Elon wants it out there.
Right.
He's proud of it.
Right.
233 DGS on KMOX. Did you guys see this pilot who they arrested and took off the plane?
Yes.
DUI.
Man.
I am livid. I am livid. I have people in my life with addictions. My son Nick is sober. I'm very proud of him. I sympathize. There are certain positions in life where you have to be better. If you want to be president of the United States, you need to be better than me. If you want to be a pilot, you need to be better than me. You need to be better than everyone else, or else get your ass out of the cockpit. And it is an absolute travesty that a person would do this. This guy should never even be able to fly again. It's just, as someone who's a nervous flyer, as someone who has a family, I don't want to see crash. It's just, it's beyond unacceptable. And I'm typically, as you guys know, pretty forgiving and pretty like, oh, I understand this, I understand that. No. There are certain positions in life, don't even go for it. Don't even do it. If you can't be better than everyone else, don't be a pilot. Don't be a president. Don't be a this, don't be a that. You know? I just have no sympathy.
No, that's my philosophy. You're choosing the job. You know what comes with it. And if you're choosing a job that comes with a lot of authority and a lot of power and a lot of responsibility, then if you can't live up to that, don't go down that road.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it. How? That's what my reaction was. How dare you? How dare you?
Yeah.
I remember one time when I was a younger man down on the landing and met up with this group and met this girl and ended up spending some time with her. And she didn't tell me until later in the night that she was a flight attendant and those were her pilots. And it was basically, I don't remember all the hours and the timing of it, but they were breaking the rules. And she was just like, oh, yeah, yeah, you just got to have each other's back. And it's fine. It's not that difficult and all this stuff. And I was just like flabbergasted.
Yeah.
They're down there drunk as skunks on the landing. They're flying the next morning.
Not great. Not
great.
Not, I mean, yeah, probably. I mean, I don't know the protocols. But I got to believe, you know, being out, what, 2 a.m?
It's 8 hours. You have to have 8 hours between your last drink and your flight, and you can't have over a .04.
But who's measuring you?
I don't think anyone measures you unless they have suspicions.
Right, but this is kind of my point.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, it's not like you're...
it's the honor system.
Right. That's
have
the problem.
Some honor.
And that's a case where people in the profession should not cover for each other.
No. Absolutely not.
I'm sorry, but if you're going to put somebody that's a coworker in that position, you deserve to lose your job.
Totally agree.
0.04 seems awfully high for that. I mean, like, I'm supposed to be at like a zero when I'm
at work. Yeah.
You know, I don't think that's too much to ask.
No. Mm-hmm.
Well, according to people in Congress, everybody shows up to work drunk sometimes.
Right? Do we still have that sound?
Of
Senator Mullen?
I think I may have overwritten it. I'm sorry.
That's okay. In his defense of Pete Hegseth was saying, I know some of you have showed up drunk to vote. And most people can show up drunk and still do their jobs. Like,
no.
That's not exactly
making
me feel better.
Weird flex.
Also, but like most people who show up drunk get fired.
Mm-hmm.
If we showed up drunk today, you're fired.
Fired.
Or at the very least, suspended for a long period of time.
Yeah.
It's not going to be, and it also depends kind of maybe on the damage that you do. But if you showed up drunk and went on the air and said crazy things and got the station in trouble, you're probably fired.
And I wouldn't even fight it.
And again, it's not just any job. It's Secretary of Defense that he's talking about. You don't get to show up drunk for that job or any, I mean, and by the way, if he's saying that people in the Senate and in the House are showing up drunk for votes, then you better start naming names and stop covering for their asses, because that's not okay. I'm sorry, it's not okay.
Stairway to Kevin?
Yes, and here's another thing that's not okay. No, actually, it's kind of related to this, which is very odd. This has been happening. It happens all the time where it's not really tied into the exact thing, but it's along the same vein. The more I pay attention to national politics and the biggest issues that people fight over, the more I keep coming back to the conclusion that nobody actually wants to solve the problems. They just want the fight to exist to motivate people to vote. Regardless, you could pick a bunch of issues, but the one that I tend to pick on when it comes to this is immigration. People love the fight. It's a great campaign issue. And my stance is I don't think either party wants to change anything or solve the problem. And my defense for that, or my evidence for that, is how companies are treated when they are caught employing illegal aliens. Okay? So for both of the last two administrations, the Biden administration and the Trump administration, there are documented cases of defense contractors employing illegal immigrants to work in shipyards, for example, building military vessels. And there are a couple other examples of it, but that was the story that I read. I think it was a ProPublica story. In both of the cases, when it was found out, the illegal immigrants were put into the system. Right, I don't know if you're quote unquote charged. Some were deported. You know, the process of deportation was begun. Not one penalty levied against any of the companies that are employing illegal immigrants. Not one. And guess what? Those big companies do. They donate money to politicians. So it's their cover. If we really wanted to fix the problem, if people in D.C., and I think Americans want to fix the problem, I think people who vote legitimately want to fix the problem. So I'm not making the argument that voters don't want to fix it. I'm making the argument that people in elected jobs, elected office, do not want to solve that. Because if they did, one of the really good, effective ways of solving it would be punishing companies that hire illegal immigrants, especially government contractors. Where else do you have more influence than the people, the companies whose futures depend on contracts that come from you? But time after time after time, when these big companies are caught hiring illegal immigrants, the illegal immigrants are bussed away and they're put into the system and they're run out, which, fine, that's the law, right? But nothing happens to the companies. The people that hire them get no penalties. And I saw it was a thread on Twitter from a journalist who lived, and I forget where, and I don't necessarily want to name the place because I don't necessarily want to throw the company under the bus based on this, because it wasn't a reported story. It was a personal experience of a person who lived in a town where a food company was the major industry in that town, and it employed everybody. And every so often, there would be roundups, and they would come in and they would arrest a bunch of illegal immigrants working at the plant, working in various parts of the town, and not one time did it ever come with consequences for the company or the people in the company that are deciding to pay them. Because if you're hiring illegal immigrants, you're not paying taxes, right? They're not, and you're not. You're it's under the board. It's not going to be on the books. So if we really, and this is one problem, that's one. I could list, we don't want to fix all kinds of problems. I mean, I think you could list the war on drugs. You could list all these things because everything we do is nonsense. Most of it's performative, and none of it is solving anything. For all the talk about all of these things, what has changed? Whatever changes with these problems?
Do you think the same thing about Roe v. Wade?
I did for a while, and obviously when it changed, I think there was a little, oh, crap, now what? You know what I mean? Like, it was a great, useful issue, and again, I'm not picking on either party. I think both parties do the same thing. They have issues that they want to push that they know will motivate their voters to get out, and then nothing happens. You can name any kind of issue. You just named one with Roe v. Wade. I'm talking about immigration. If you really want to put a dent in it, penalize companies, especially the big companies, especially government contractors that are hiring illegal immigrants. Because when they're doing that, think about that. They're hiring people to do jobs in shipyards where an American worker there could make a lot of money and get paid good benefits. And there's a reason they're going around that, because it saves the company money. And the companies, some of them have said, they're making the argument that we can't find enough skilled workers to do this in the United States. Like, no, you could if you'd pay them. If you would pay them all across the board the same amount. So in that particular case, I think it's self-evident. Because what's changed in 20 years? Regardless of who's in power, regardless of who controls Congress or the White House, what has changed on that issue in the last 30 years?
It'll be a fascinating 4 years, given that President-elect Trump ran so hard on we're going to deport a million people a year, whatever it is. And we all know that big business and big money doesn't necessarily want to see that happen.
Well, no, the construction industry, the giant farming industry.
Food services.
I mean, you know, I am curious to see if the actions back up the campaign promises. But again, go over 20, 30 years and all of these issues that are very divisive and people run on all the time. How many things actually change when people get in office?
So Roe v. Wade is the only thing that comes to mind.
In the first 2 years of Trump, did they not have both the White House and the Senate?
Just like now.
It was complete control all across the board. What changed? When it comes to immigration, when it comes to any of these things. Now, I get it. There's still pushback. There are mechanisms to fight against various measures. But I think there are a lot of ways. I always talk about finding disincentives. If you want to curb someone's behavior, threaten the thing that really they care about the most,
and
they'll stop doing it.
Yeah.
Well,
like your parents did.
But we ain't doing that to the people that pay the bills.
248 DGS. Rach, who's the guy that sucks in the Google Doc?
Oh, it's a millionaire who started a YouTube channel, and he was like, what if I just got rid of all my belongings for the sake of the channel. And with $100, I try to become a millionaire in 1 year. And then everyone got mad at him because it's like, this is really unrealistic. And he's like, well, you know, I'm just saying, like,
did
like,
he do it?
No, he was not able to complete the task. I think he quit before the year was up.
Did he get rid of it, all of his money, or he just put it somewhere?
No, he just had like a challenge he was going
to
do.
Oh, go to hell.
Yeah. I know. Right. I was like, this guy sucks.
Right.
I don't like stuff like that. I think it's very annoying.
It's super tacky as well.
It is, because it's like, oh, so you're implying that anyone with $100 can become a millionaire in the course of a year.
I hear it all the time.
Yeah.
I see those all the time.
I guess if you're not a millionaire, you just don't want it bad enough. Is that how that works?
Well, I mean, so I think ridiculous. That's the inescapable conclusion.
Well, Dave, you're just not one of the guys that can do 3 24-hour days in 1 24-hour period.
Yep.
I love those guys. Like, I get 3 days of work done in 24 hours. Like,
you know
okay,
what?
Mark Wahlberg.
Those
yeah.
things never, they never move me.
No.
I guess maybe because I know myself so well, and I'm not going to get up at 3 a.m. to pray and bench press. So I just never let that bother me. If someone said, hey, if you want to be a better radio show host, you could do this and this and this. And you work harder. For example, my friend JC Corcoran worked harder than me, still does. I could work harder on some things and I don't, and that's on me. But when people, I see these TikToks all the time from millionaires, or at least people who represent being millionaires, you give me $10,000 and I'll build it back and blah, 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 blah. It's like, well, good for you. Go away, you piece of crap. Sorry, I'm in a bad mood today.
Get out of my face with all that. You suck.
Well, it's simple, you guys. It's easy. No excuses. I always love the no excuses people. Like, really? So no excuses then. Why aren't you the president of the United States? Why aren't you Elon Musk if there's no excuses?
Tell him.
Get him.
It's reminding me, there's this tennis player, Nick Kyrgios.
Yeah.
You know him, Wheels. And he's always like, yeah, I could win a slam if I wanted to.
Yeah,
like,
right.
So you're saying you don't want to.
I don't care that much. Like, not a big deal.
Like, I really like him as like a commentator, and when he does sideline reporting and stuff, he does an amazing job. But as a player, and some of the just like totally out of pocket comments he makes, I'm just like, you're so arrogant, dude. You need to calm down.
Yeah, this is actually a lot of my annoyance at this comes from being in sports, because people do that with their team. Like, no excuse. There's no excuse. I'm like, really? Well, why don't you own the team then? No excuse. No excuse. Get it done. Just win. Do your job.
I was thinking today, let's make a hard pivot to sports, since I'm in a bad mood. I don't want to keep telling people to go to hell. I was, for some reason, Mark McGwire home runs kept coming up on TikTok. McGwire or Pujols?
Oh, Albert Pujols, without question.
In every way?
In every single way. I mean, Mark McGwire was bigger and stronger, so he probably hit the ball further. But Albert hit more home runs because he hit the ball more. And, you know, to hit the ball, you don't have to hit the ball 500 feet to hit a home run. 370 works. It's still over the fence. He was just better at everything. I mean, he's one of the best defensive first basemen of his time. Albert was a great base runner. It's hard to do what he did, which was hit over 300 and hit for power and do it for 20-plus years. But especially his first 11 years. Mark McGwire was one of the best home run hitters in baseball history. Albert was one of the best hitters, period. All, you know, the whole game, like the whole offensive game.
And Albert wasn't that touted early on, right?
I mean, no, he was like a 14th round draft pick. You know, he wasn't expected to be what he was. Meanwhile, McGwire was, right? I mean, he was a big star in college at USC, played for Team USA before he was drafted, first round pick, you know, all of that. But no, Albert was the Cinderella story out of a JUCO.
How diminished are McGwire's numbers without the juice?
I mean, most people view all of those home run totals from the steroid era as being tainted, as being less than. I don't have the exact same view of it because, again, tell me how much further the ball actually went, right? Like I just said, Mark McGwire, when he was 22, was hitting tape measure home runs. So if it was going 440 instead of 430, they were still out of the ballpark at 430. Like, it's never been quantified to me how much of a benefit you got. The one thing that they all got from it, though, was recovery. So day to day over the course of a 6-month season, if you're using performance enhancing drugs, your body's more likely at 100% or close to it. Versus when you're not using those, there are going to be weeks where you're 60% and you don't have it. So that pushes the totals up to a degree.
Do you consider him one of the greatest Cardinals of all time?
McGuire? Sure. I mean, again, not. But you're not going to put him with Stan. You're not going to put him with Albert. You know, he's not with Ozzie. And it's because of that. I mean, and even if they only got, the other thing we don't know about all those users is how long did they do it? Did they do it for a year, 5 years, a month? Did they do it all the time, just occasionally? Like, we don't have any idea because there was no testing at the time. So it's very difficult to understand just how much impact there was. But yeah, I mean, you know, Mark McGuire did with the Cardinals what a lot of people would have had a hard time doing at any point, which was dominating a year, He and Sammy Sosa were the story in the whole sport that year.
So Wheels, McGuire obviously had to like admit to the steroid use.
Yeah.
I apologize if this has been asked before, but how many players do you think like effectively got away with it?
Most. Yeah, most. The only people that wear it are the people that broke records.
Okay.
I mean, there are plenty of dudes that never broke a record that cheated. There are guys in the Hall of Fame that use steroids, and it's just never been reported. And there was no testing at the time. But I think most people I've talked to around the game can name several people that they're pretty sure used.
Think they're still doing it?
Probably to a degree, not like they used to. You still see people get caught with drug tests every once in a while. And, you know, there are ways to do those things without getting caught. You know, if you're using substances that aren't being tested for or if you're cycling properly. I don't think it's as common, though, because... one, the fear of getting caught. The suspensions are severe. You're losing. You know, if you make $10 million a year, kiss it goodbye, and your career is probably over once you come back because you've now lost your reputation. So the punishments are severe enough, I think, to deter it. Plus, we're so much better at knowing how to be strong and healthy and do the things you need to do without it because the science has advanced so much. You know, the way that you learn how to do things. It's not just about getting big and muscly and out-muscling the problem. There's a lot more about biomechanics and how the body moves.
I would be
moves.
Really surprised, too, if steroids were still the premier drug.
I mean, they are for people that are careless. There are other things. There's always. I mean, the cheating is always ahead of the testing. That's 100% true, whether it's the Olympics, football, basketball, baseball. And there are people, by the way, cheating in football and basketball, too. There are people doing those things in sports.
You don't hear about it much.
No, because I think it's less common than it used to be. But also, there's testing. So if people, and look, people get positive tests in the NFL all the time. But they're not always stars, so people don't care when it's not a star. You know, in baseball, the biggest problem, the reason why it became the thing is, these were players setting the most hallowed records in the sport. Nothing carried more weight than the home run records historically, right? It was Babe Ruth, and then it was Hank Aaron. And when those records and then the Maris 61, when those started to fall, and then you found out those guys were cheating, it just overwhelmed everyone.
Who has a single season now?
It's Bonds. Oh, a single season? It's still, yeah, it's Bonds. 72.
Think it'll be broken?
No. Not with as many strikeouts as there are in the game right now. Not unless there's a turnaround where guys make more contact, because you can't hit 72 home runs if you're not hitting the ball.
Good point.